You know, the Old Testament is full of parables. And a parable is used in earthly illustrations to teach spiritual truths. Our Lord used them all the time. He said, look on the fields, they're white, ready to be harvested. He told a parable of a fellow looking for a treasure in a field. Talked about corn growing, how it starts out as a seed and goes into the blade and to full ear. So he used lots and lots of parables to teach spiritual truths, heavenly truths. And the Old Testament's full of pictures. You know, Christ is the substance, but you know a picture, the Old Testament's full of pictures. And you don't fall in love with a picture, you fall in love with a person. But that's what the Old Testament does, is teach us, you know, Christ, and shows us pictures and types. And every one of them relates to how God saves the sinner. How God saves sinners. Every single one of them talks about how God saves sinners. And our Lord himself, he often, when he was preaching, constantly referred to the Old Testament. He told Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He was preaching one day, and they asked him, you know, what in the world he meant by 3 days, you know, tear this temple down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days. And they thought, and they said, how in the world can you do that? He said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, even so must the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights. And then he referred back to the days before he come. He said, as it were in the days of Noah. He referred to the Old Testament many times, many times. And I pray that God would make us wise, give us understanding, clear understanding of the types and pictures of our Lord, because he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. Now here in this chapter that I've read so far, we're not left to wonder about what's being taught here. We not have to understand and be what we're being taught here, the application of these scriptures. You know, the scriptures have an application. And we see here here's the application that God's telling him to do. This is what it means. Look in verse 2. God said to him, Son of man, Son of man, that's what you are, you're son of a man, caused Jerusalem to know her abominations. I want Jerusalem to know how abominable she is, her abominations. And he uses this infant being cast out, thrown out into an open field, uses this a picture of this infant, thrown away. And it was common among heathen nations, if you had a deformed or unwanted infant, child, throw it out. Take it out in the woods, throw it out in the desert. Kind of like the way they do infants today. The newborn infant would be cast out into a field right after he's born. I mean, they didn't do anything for it. It was born, take it and throw it away. And they'd throw it into a field. And animals and birds would come. And they'd destroy that child. Eat that child. Destroy that child. And this is how God found Israel. Just like this infant. Wasn't worth nothing. Nobody wanted it. Nobody cared for it. Nobody had any compassion or pity for it. And this is how God found Israel. In idolatry, paganism. You know, everybody talks about Abraham. Before God called Abraham, you know he was a heathen idolater. He worshipped idols. That's what he did. He worshipped idols. And that's the way God found Israel. And the scriptures tells us that he made them his own. Gave them his glory. Gave him his prophets. Gave them his law. And gave him his son. and their fame and beauty went forth among all the nations. They were beauty. Their beauty was they were beautiful through His glory, through His comeliness, which He put upon them. But as in all scriptures, God's dealing with natural Israel is a picture of His dealings with spiritual Israel. Us, God's people, God's elect. You know, when you go back, there was always an elect within the elect. You know, God chose a nation, but out of that whole nation, there was just a very, very few that was chosen to salvation. That's what He meant. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so when He's dealing with natural Israel, He's showing us how He deals with spiritual Israel, His elect people. And this is a picture of how God saves sinners. This is a picture of how God's sovereign grace goes and does something for somebody who is unable to do anything for himself. Now let's go down through these scriptures, see what they have to say to us. And He says thus, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan, and thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother was an Hittite. And you know, when his baby was born, it was wrong. It's born wrong. Something was wrong with it. It was born of the land of Canaan, and God cursed Canaan in Genesis chapter 9, and He talked about the Amorites. Over in Genesis 15, He said, the Amorites, their iniquity is not full yet. So this baby was something bad wrong with it. This baby was wrong from the day it was born. And it was cursed. This come from the land of Canaan, cursed. Now I'll tell you some other people that's born wrong. Every single one of us. Nah? You know why we was born wrong? Because our mother was wrong. Our father was wrong. Our grandparents were wrong. Every one of us was born wrong. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He said, the wicked go astray from the mother's womb, speaking lies. And every baby, you think it's going to die if you don't pick it up, but it's going to scream and squall because it wants all the attention. Ain't a thing in the world. Feed it, clothe it, it's still going to cry. And so they go astray from the mother's womb. And you know, the scriptures tells us by one man, just one man, sin entered into this world. And by that one man's sin, death passed upon everybody, the whole world. How's it come? Because when he sinned, we sinned. When he rebelled against God, we rebelled against God. And from that day forth, every time Adam had a child, it was born in his likeness and in his image. And so that's what happened. Now I want you to look with me over here. You keep Ezekiel 16. Look with me over here in Job. Look with me in Job chapter 25. I want you to look with me in Job chapter 25. Look what God says over here. Job's right before the book of Psalms. Look what God says. You know, this shows us our lost condition. Oh, what a condition we were in. Look how God says in verse 4. How then can man be justified with God? How can he stand before God and say, oh God, I'm justified in your sight. I've not done anything wrong. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? He said, look up at the moon. And as far as God's concerned, it don't even shine. Yea, the stars, as they shine up in the night, they're not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm? Huh? And the son of man, which is a worm. Now that's what he told us. Called us worms. Now back over here, I want you to look at this infant. Look at this infant. Oh my. Look what he says down there in verse 5. This infant was helpless. This infant was friendless. God said this. He says, no, I pitied you. There was not an eye anywhere that looked upon you with pity. No eye pitied thee. Oh my. Then what can an infant do in this condition? And he says this. And he says, and they didn't even have compassion on you. Didn't have compassion on you. This infant was helpless. This infant was friendless. What can an infant do? What can this infant do in this condition? What can it do for itself? Huh? It's impotent, helpless, powerless. It's laying there. Can't do anything. So how in the world is anything going to be done for it? If anything's done for that baby, anything done for that infant, somebody else got to do it. Somebody else has got to do it. Oh, it got to come from the hand of another. Somebody else has got to do it. And I tell you, it's got to come from the will. It's got to come from the power. It's got to come from the love. It's got to come from the compassion of somebody else. His mama didn't want it. Daddy didn't want it. Nobody wanted it. So if anything's going to be done for that infant, it's in its blood. It's in its nastiness. And I tell you what. I tell you what. Except God asked this question. He asked it in Jeremiah. Can the Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? How then can you, that are accustomed to do evil, do good? How can you do it? Oh, and I'll tell you something else about this baby. It absolutely had no sense of the condition it was in. It was absolutely unaware of its condition. It didn't know the condition it was in. It didn't know nobody loved it. It didn't know nobody had compassion on it. Huh? And look what he says there in verse 4. Oh my, we can't save ourselves. We're just empty vessels. He said, as for thy nativity, in the day that thou was born, your neighbor wasn't good. Oh, you're still attached to you. You know, they had never separated you from that neighbor that come out of your mother's womb. Nobody took water and washed you off to supple you. And listen to this. And nobody purified you, swaddled you, salted you, or swaddled you, and took you and wrapped you in clothes. This infant was dirty, loathsome, polluted in his own blood. Instead of having beauty, he had ashes. Instead of glory, they had shame. Instead of health, they had rottenness. Oh, my. No wonder Isaiah said, from the top of the head to the sole of the foot, you're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Now, I tell you what, the way we see ourselves and the way God sees us, two different things. That's the problem with most of us. That's the problem with most of us. We see ourselves and we see other people and we don't see ourselves as God sees us. But God, first of all, called us a worm. Called us a baby. Loathsome. Polluted in our blood. Born wrong. Oh, our blood. That's where all of our problems at. A man doesn't become a sinner when he starts sinning. He starts sinning because he's a sinner. Amen. And you know where he got his, you know where he got his sinful nature from? In his blood. You know, if you want to find out what's the matter with you, you get your blood drawn and they do all the things in your blood and they'll tell you whether you got good blood, bad blood, you got an infection or whatever you got. If you got cancer, if you got too many white cells or listen, I'm telling you, blood tells everything there is to know about you. I go to the doctor all you want, but he goes up there and just talk to you. Well, how do you feel? How do you think? Are you hurting in your back? You got a headache? What's going on with you? All they got to do is take your blood. The doctor read that blood and said, well, you ain't got no vitamin D. You've got too many white blood, you know, and then go through your blood and then sit down there and say, well, you're pretty healthy today. Everything's all right. Tell how much potassium you got and all how much iron you got. Tell all the things about you by your blood. And God tells everything about us by our blood. Our blood was wrong. Our nature was wrong. And this infant was polluted in its own blood. And that's the problem. It's the blood. It comes in the blood. You know why I'm like the way I am? Because my daddy was the way he was. Because my mother was the way she was. My grandfather and grandmother. And I could tell you personal things about them, and I'll tell you what, I got too much of them in me. But oh, he said, I tell you, there's a dirty and loathsome, polluted. Oh, that blood was over you, that slime was over you, that corruption that was over you. And nobody looked in love, and nobody looked in compassion, and nobody pitied you. But now, wait a minute. Look down verse 6. And when I passed by, look what he said. Oh, this infant was just laying there. It was a mess. It was in pitiful shape. And oh my, this infant wasn't laying there looking for somebody to help it. He didn't even know the condition he was in. He was senseless. As the old hymn writer said, "'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for that could not be. For thou hast not chosen me, thy glory I would not see." God said, "I pass by." And look what he said, "pass by thee." Huh? Oh my. And listen to what else he said. "I saw you. I saw you. Huh? Oh my. And I passed by thee." And it says it again down in verse 8. "And when I passed by thee," and listen to this now, "and looked upon you." I looked at you. I saw exactly the condition you was in. I saw everything that was wrong with you. But I passed by you. Oh, I passed by you. Oh, and you know what it says? And behold, thy time. It was your time. And you know what it was? The time of love. Oh my, it's a time of love. You know, this is one of the most wonderful things. God passed by. You know how many times the Lord Jesus Christ passed by? He passed by the woman at the well. He passed by Zacchaeus. He passed by Lazarus' grave. He passed by a funeral one day and gave a man life. Our Lord, when he passed by, something always happened. And I tell you, when the Lord Jesus Christ passed by, something's going to happen. Believe me. And I tell you, it's not that we loved him, but he first loved us. We didn't seek the Lord. No, we like this baby. We didn't have a clue what condition we was in, what we was like. We didn't seek the Lord. He saw us. He came where we were. He came to where we were. Found us. Just like we were. Not like we thought we were. Not like we hoped we were. Not like we believed we were. But as we were. And you know what he said? It's time of love. Time to show my love. Time to manifest my love. Time to learn more love. Oh my. Ah, bless his holy name. Oh, he passed by. You know, we sing that little chorus, "When the Lord passes by, reach out and touch the Lord." How many people? He was passing by one time, and a great crowd was around him. And a woman, she had bad blood. Oh, she had bad blood. Spent all of her money on doctors. Listen, just got bad, worse and worse and worse. That's the way most people do, and they go, just get worse and worse and worse until it's too late. But oh, she got worse and worse. But she said, "Oh my, there he is. If I can just get close enough to touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole." She crawled through that crowd and pushed through that crowd and got down. You know how low she had to get to touch the hem of his garment? She was crawling. She was on her face. She was reaching out. And she just, all she had to do was just barely touch it. She should have made a hole like that. Oh, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. He said, I passed by you. Oh, that's God's sovereign grace. I passed by you. I saw you. I looked upon you. I looked upon you. And then look at God's sovereign choice in verse 6. Oh my. He said, when I passed by thee, I saw you polluted in your own blood. Polluted in your own blood. You know, I'm grateful that we don't know one another's hearts. I really am. You know, I know enough about mine to know I don't trust it. I know enough about mine, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I know all I can do is look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, friends may not know your heart. You may not know your own heart. And you certainly may not know your own sinful condition. But God knows. God knows. And that's what I love about God. He said, I saw you as you are. I saw you polluted in your blood. And here's one thing that God does. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's just our nature. We look on the outward appearance. And I told a congregation here recently, I said, believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. People telling you something. Why'd I say that? Well, because you may see somebody doing something and you say, well, I wouldn't have believed they'd have done that whatsoever. But you don't know what they was doing and why were that and who they was doing it for. You know? And then, most people, when they tell you something, did you hear what so-and-so said, what so-and-so did, and what so-and-so's going to do? But you know, God don't look on what we look like on the outside. That don't interest Him at all. Now, I dressed up to come to church today. Shirley said I got the right tie to go with the shirt. I dressed up good. She looked at me. She went up and down. Then she said, well, you'll pass. You'll pass. Most of the time I don't do that. I'll take two or three ties and take them in there and say, which one goes? That's what I have to do. But anyway, while I said all that to say this, God looks on this outward appearance. I mean, we look on the outward appearance, but God sees the heart. He's looking at the heart. And I know this, if He's got your heart, He's got you. If He's got your heart, He's got you. You know exactly what you are before the Lord. You ain't pretending. You don't have no pretense. You have no put on. You have no sham when you stand in His presence. None whatsoever. Oh, it's all gone. Huh? And then look what He said over here in verse 8. Look down there at the bottom of that verse. Well, let me tell you this. He said, I covered thy nakedness, I swear unto thee. And listen to this. I entered into a covenant with you. Oh my, you know why he done this? Because he entered into a covenant. And then, you know what? Listen to what he says. Saith the Lord God, when I saw you polluted in your blood, when I passed by you, he said, you know what I did? Thou becamest mine. You became mine. Your mama didn't want you. Your daddy didn't. David said like this, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And I tell you, he said, oh, I saw you like you was. And I looked at you and I passed by you and it was a time of love. And you know what I said? I said, I want you. I want you to be mine. I'm going to take you and make you mine. Make you mine. Huh? Oh my. And I tell you what, when this time came, it was a time of love. It was a time of love. And our Lord Jesus Christ, that God's sovereign grace, I passed by you, His sovereign choice. Oh, God said, oh, listen. He said, look what He said. Oh, I'm missing one somewhere. Got too big a hurry here. What am I doing? Well, I'll catch up. But oh my, look what God said there to her. He said, when I passed by you, in verse 6, and saw thee polluted in thy blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, I said, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Live. It's what He's told to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. 12-year-old girl ran dead. They already had her laid out, getting ready to prepare a body to bury it. And our Lord Jesus went in the house. I laid that little 12-year-old girl. Just time, probably very small. Our Lord said, she's not dead. She's not dead. What do you mean she's not dead? He said, she's just asleep. I'm going to wake her up. And all them, Peter, John, all of them said, oh, Lord, oh, listen, she's dead. What are you talking about? She's just asleep. He wretched got her by the hand. Talitha kumai. Get up, daughter. Just got her by the hand. I don't believe she even got off by herself. I believe when He got her by the hand, He lifted her up and set her down. That's how kind of power He's got. That's how gracious He is. And He says, now this girl's hungry. Now feed her. He takes care of everything. He not only gives you life, but then He feeds you. And you know all He's got to say to give life? Is live. That's all it takes is live. Live. It's all it takes. It passed by you. I saw you. You became mine. I entered a covenant with you. I clothed you. And I tell you what I'm going to do. He said, you're going to become mine and I want you to live. I want you to live. And oh my. And He says there in that verse 8. He said, the time that I come by, it was the time of love. And listen to this. I spread my skirt over you. I spread my skirt over you. You remember Ruth, when Ruth found out, you know, Naomi found out that Boaz was a kinsman that could redeem them and pay all their debts off and redeem her. She said, I tell you what you do. She said, you go back. You go over there where he's working. And he's going to be sleeping. He said, now what you do is you get right at his feet. And you lay down at his feet. And cover yourself with his clothes. And that's where we go. We have to go to his feet. And then what did he say? I spread my skirt over you. Oh my. What's a skirt? Something to cover you. And that's what he said. I covered your nakedness. And God said, when I could swear by no more, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee. And you became mine. You became mine. Now look what else he did here now. God makes some commands here. You know, God don't ask it. Everything he'd done here, God did it. God did it. That infant couldn't do nothing for itself. And that's what men need to learn, that they cannot do anything for themselves to save themselves. And once they're saved, they can't do anything to keep themselves saved. They can't do it. Man cannot save himself, and he can't keep himself saved. He just can't do it. And the thing about it is, every time you find what God does for somebody in the Scriptures, you find out that God is the one that does it. God's the one that makes the initial move. God's the one that has to do the work to start with. There's not anybody that you'll find that until God first went to them, that they come to Him first. It don't happen that way. And look what God commanded here now, His sovereign command. There again in verse 6. And that's what I'm telling you about. It's a commandment. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, He said, live. You know how that's capitalized? Live. You know where life's at? It's in Christ. Huh? You got Christ, you got life. And then He repeated it twice. He said, I want you to understand that if you're going to live, I got to be the one to give you life. And He said, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, I said, live. I want you to live. They threw Him out to die. But God said, I want you to live. I want you to live. In God's creation, God's Spirit moved upon the dark water and the earth without form and voice. And God said, let there be light. And one day God moved over our darkened hearts, over our darkened understanding. And you know what He said? Let there be light. And He gave us the light of His glory. You know where He gave it to us? In the person of His blessed Son. Oh my, huh? Oh my, huh? God's Spirit moved over the virgin's womb and said, let there be life. And Jesus Christ, was God's only begotten Son, came into this world that way. One day God moved over our lifeless soul and said, live. I say unto thee, live. He said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of man, not of flesh, but of God. Huh? Oh, Lazarus. Lazarus. Now, let me show you something else here. Look at God's gifts. He gives, you know, if we have anything, God has to give it to us. With His spotless garments on, we're as holy as God's own Son. Look what He said in verse 9. I passed by you. Then I washed you. I washed you. I washed you. He said, no, I pitied you. Nobody washed you, but I washed you. And you know, look how He said, I washed you. I washed you throughly. Not thoroughly, throughly. Throughly. With thoroughly, throughly, inside and out, and outside and in, sinner. So God said, I'm going to wash you. Inside now, I'm going to wash you all over. I'm going to wash your heart. I'm going to wash your mind. I'm going to wash your soul. I'm going to wash your will. I'm going to wash your emotions. I'm going to wash you. I'm going to wash you thoroughly. I'm going to wash you thoroughly. Huh? And you know how He washes us? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Huh? And then look what else He said. And He said there in verse 9 again, and I anointed you with oil. What does that mean? That means He sent the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The oil always represents the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Ghost. He sent the Holy Spirit to us. And He's the one that taught us the things of Christ. One that taught us the things of the Lord Jesus. And then look what else He said. He said there in verse 10, I clothe thee. I clothed you. What did you clothe us with? Fine linen. I clothed you. Oh, when the prodigal come home, he said, bring forth the best robe. Now stretch out your arm, son, so I can put this coat on you. Don't know. He said, you all put that coat on that boy. And that's what God does for us. He comes and puts on the clothes. Huh? He don't say, now listen, stretch yourself out here, stick your arm out, let me do. No. Let me, are you willing for me to clothe you? No. I clothed you. Oh, Adam, he had a fig leaf. That wouldn't do. And then God said this. He said, I covered your nakedness. Ain't that what He said? I covered your nakedness. Oh my, bless his name. I clothed you with fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. And then look what he says, I think verse 11 and 12. I decked thee also with ornaments. What kind of ornaments you reckon he put on us? How do you think what kind of ornaments he put on us? Well, I think there's the fruit of the Spirit. He dressed us up with love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness, temperance, all of these things. He put all these ornaments on us. Now, you can't see the ornaments on yourself, but I can see the ornaments on you. I can see the love. I can see the grace. I can see the righteousness. I can see the gentleness and the goodness and the generosity and the graciousness. I can see it. Huh? Oh, he gave us righteousness, justification, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, tenderness. Oh, my. Oh, he decked us with beautiful, beautiful ornament. And then look what else he says there. In verse 12, I put jewels on your forehead and earrings in your ears. And listen to this now. And put a beautiful crown upon thy head. I put a beautiful crown on your head. You know, it said over in Isaiah, God said, I'm going to take the crown off your head. He told Job, he said, I'm going to take the crown off your head. So he took our crown off and he put on a crown of righteousness. There's two crowns that we wear according to the New Testament. The crown of life and a crown of righteousness. And you know what we're going to do with both of them when we get to glory? We're going to throw them at Christ's feet. Throw them at Christ's feet. And then look what he says down here in verse 14. And your renown went forth among the heathen for your beauty. Now listen to this. For it was perfect. Your beauty's perfect. Oh, how in the world did we become perfect? How did this infant that was so polluted in his blood, cast out, loathsome, it was perfect, listen to this, through my comeliness. And look what it says now, which I put upon you. Perfect has come through him. Through Christ. You're complete in him. And that word perfect, complete, the same word as perfect. You are complete in him. Perfect in him. How's come? Through his comeliness. Through his work. Through who he is. Through who he is. Our Father, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for blessing us in these words today. I pray they were a blessing. I pray they was enlightening and encouraging and comforting. And I pray for that soul who's never trusted Christ, that they'll see what it is to trust him today. Lord, meet our needs. We're like this infant. You got to save us. You got to give us life. You got to wash us. You got to clothe us. And Lord, if we got any perfection, it comes from you. You and you alone. And we bless you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn to number 51 in the hymn book. Number 51. Stand together. And when we're through with this, you're at liberty to go. 51. Praise the Savior, ye who know him, who can tell how much we owe him. Gladly let us render to him all we are and have.
that charms us. He for conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in Him. Trust in Him, ye saints, forever. He is faithful, changing never. Till the dross of God can sever those He loves from Him. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to Thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with Thee.